Welcome to the Homily Studio for Sunday the 19th of July, which is the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And we're just checking here with the four of us in this conversation that we're all on the right page. Yes, we are.
We are.
This is a good start. We've made a great start. Who do we have in the conversation here today?
Called Teresa Edwards Tokawingwa. I'm Teresa Edwards, and I work in the Diocese of Palmerston North, and it's really great to be in the room today.
Great. What are you doing there, Teresa, in the Diocese of Palmerston North?
Well, I'm trying to have a little holiday while schools are on holiday, but I'm the manager for the Catholic Education Office in the Diocese, and it's a wonderful privilege to be having that role at the moment.
Great. There's a lot of people enjoying holiday, and I'm sure there's a lot of people listening, maybe even grandparents who have got the grandchildren. Well, I hope that doesn't interrupt your listening to the homily studio. Who else is here?
And I'm John Coulham. I'm the Catholic Schools Manager for the Hamilton Diocese. So similar to role to what Teresa plays in the Palmerston North area. So nice to see you, Teresa.
Nice to see you too, John. And let the listeners know that John and I were both principals of St. James Catholic School in Palmerston North.
Yeah, we were at a different time, yes.
It was last century, though.
Last century, yeah.
Maya.
Tato. Magandang araw. I'm another North Islander, is joining in from Wellington. I'm a Filipino Kiwi working for the Catholic Archdiocese of Wellington. I currently handle the ministries for migrants, a ministry called Landing the Wakaf to support newly arrived in migrant priests from overseas, and I also handle the Lay Leadership Formation Program. So happy to be here, John.
That's great to have you on board. Well, two Johns, and Maya and Teresa.
Oh, John and John.
Teresa. You know that a few weeks ago we had three Johns on the homily studio? One of them was you, John, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Okay, let's take a moment to gather, not just the four of us gathering here, but wherever we are, we gather in this place for these minutes. To reflect on the scriptures for this Sunday. And wherever you are, whatever part of the world geographically, but whatever stage of life, whatever is going on in your life, the joys, the hopes, the griefs, the anxieties of life, as the Constitution of the Church reminds us, we are together, united, as we pray in the words which, if we were to use the entrance antiphon, the words which would begin this Sunday's liturgy, "See, I have God for my help. The Lord sustains my soul. I will sacrifice to you with willing heart and praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. See, I have God for my help. The Lord sustains my soul." Well, good news. Yes, indeed. So what are we all worried about if we have God for help and the Lord sustains our souls? What encourages us from these scriptures today?
Well, I if I may go first, just for the first reading, I thought it was a reading of great hope here, about the lenience of our God and the clemency, and it actually gave me great hope. And I think that from that I got that we are called to be people that act with kindness to others and all the things we do and say. And it's sort of been something that motivates me coming through this. But we're not doing it alone. We've got a lenient and forgiving God who looks upon us with clemency, and we need to do the same. We need to show that same thing in our own lives. And then there's so much out of these readings today that sort of just clicked with me. And it was about not being judgmental, you know, and it came to me recently when someone I know of has been jailed for something, and for all intents and purposes and every way I've known them, they're a really good person, but they've made a mistake in their life and they will pay the penalty. But gee, I reflected on that and I thought, is this something that should define them and condemn them for the rest of their life?
You used a lovely word, John. You've used a lovely word that we don't hear very often, clemency.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know what I don't know what an exact we might look it up and then we can add it the actual meaning or the etymology of the word clemency. It's lovely.
So I mean, there's lots of things to reflect on in that judgment aspect,
So these
and
things, our mistakes mustn't define us. In terms of
no.
God, our mistakes don't define us.
Well, we're not a perfect people, and people often rebuke that those as always an excuse. Look at those who go to church; they're the hypocrites. They do this and do that, but they don't understand we're a church of sinners.
Amen.
None of us are perfect, and we come together as one, acknowledging, as you know, that our imperfection, and asking for that grace of God to heal us. And again, it's in the readings, in the psalm, the abundance of the kindness of God and the mercy, and
Right.
so much.
Well, my word is not clemency, but maybe the same. It's patience, the patience of God. When I read the gospel, it speaks to me of both the interiority and the exteriority, of our lives. The interiority is conversion, and the exteriority is what we are called to change in the world around us. In terms of interiority or conversion, one book of story that struck me was a documentary I've watched of two Christian missionaries who were kidnapped by Islamic fundamentalists in the Philippines, Islamic insurgents down south in Mindanao. And when the missionaries were captured, they were a couple. The husband was saying, one of his most profound reflection was that he realized that the same anger and evil that he saw in his captors resides also within him. And that started his own, he can. So I guess where it took him is not from a, instead of being judgmental or revengeful, it took him on a path of a different kind of conversion that opened him to forgiveness. And for exteriority, Pope Francis in Evangelii Gaudium, I like when he's, time is greater than space. That took a lot of thinking. I said, what the hell is he talking about? But then when I dig deeper, or aside from reading, I just can't get capture that in my head. It's he's simply saying process is important, and that's why he and that's the philosophy behind synodality.
The whole the certainly the theme of patience and the theme of growth in both the weeds and the wheat and the yeast. I've got a sort of raised beds at home, and this sort of imagery of the weeds coming up with the wheat is part of I grow miner's lettuce. It's a very little old-fashioned winter lettuce. And in amongst it, you pull out the lettuce, and they're sort of like in strands, and then you pull the weed out as well, but you pull the whole of the lettuce plant out. And what I really love is sort of thinking about the weed and the wheat being they're the challenges, aren't they, in our lives? They're the they are life. So we'll always have our call is to be wheat, but whilst acknowledging that things will come and they'll detract us from what is good. I think evil's a very interesting word. In schools, we haven't traditionally used that word evil with children, and I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. In my adult life, I certainly, with knowing a little bit about Ignatian spirituality, there's the evil spirit, but we don't often talk, do we, John, about it, evil and the devil,
We talk more about the goodness of God.
goodness of God, and making choices that turn us away from God.
I think you've raised a really interesting point. And this is going to be interesting, I think, for a lot of listeners who are familiar with education of young Catholic people over the last 50 plus years. And you're right. It was possibly when I was at school, we sort of stopped talking about sin and evil. And I think, especially through Ignatius, you mentioned Teresa, rediscovering the reality of sin and the presence, the action, the effects of the evil spirit has been one of the most freeing, liberating, helpful things in my adult life. And the reason is, in part, we can unpack this a bit, that if there, you know how some, there is, the Spirit of God is at work, and we can, at times I behave in ways that are better than I know I have the capacity to behave. I say things that are much better than I could ever have created. I act in ways that, but so too, I have got the capacity to speak in ways that are much more unhelpful and, let's say it, evil than I think I am. And to understand the reality of the good spirit and the evil spirit working together, I think is a really, really freeing thing. I'm not an expert with little children, but I certainly know, but by the time that I was 14, 15, 16, I needed to know this. I suffered in my teenage years by not knowing this because it is the reality, and I think that perhaps more than anything else in education, we need to communicate reality.
And that whole
I think that.
concept of the messiness of life, you know, life is a it's a bit of a battle of making the right choices and actually straying away and not making the best choices we could make, but knowing that, you know, the spirit is there, God is waiting for us to turn back. You're absolutely right, John. If our young people knew that, gosh, it would make a real, you know, make a real difference. And I'm sure they do, and I think people in our schools do a great job of that, but certainly us growing up, that wasn't something that we completely understood.
I think also that
Well,
often in our lives, you know, we lose sight that we are the weeds too. We're not just the wheat, we are the weeds, and that's that imperfection of ourselves, and we just need to be open to the grace of God to come into our lives. And I mean, before we came in to record, I was talking to John about the distractions in our life that we get lost in, the institutional church or our work or whatever, and we're not. And I speak for myself, yeah, I can't speak for everyone, but open to the grace of God to work in me. So I'm not stopping, I'm not listening, I'm not reflecting, I'm not giving that chance. And when I looked about that wheat, I have a gully at home where I've been at the project of planting native plants, and they start off as little plants surrounded by weeds. But you know, over time, they grow into the most impressive native trees
Well,
that leave the weeds behind.
who mentioned patience at the beginning? Someone said their word. Was it you, Maya? Patience. That's the gardener learns to be patient.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so
We could
goodness
help.
prevails.
Sorry, Maya.
I'm probably quite connected to what everyone was saying. And also connecting it to the previous Sunday gospel last this 15th Sunday, that when we were reflecting on the God as sower and the different types of soil that that seed falls into. And this time I think it was kind of highlighting what happens to the seed that falls on good ground. And it's like saying it doesn't really just naturally grow. You know, the wheat, the devil will still try to compromise the growth of that seed. So I think this gospel kind of leads me to reflect more on those seeds that fell on good ground. So there's goodness. But, you know, we cannot be, what they call this, complacent about it.
I think one of the mistakes we often make is by reducing an idea of what it is to be good seed or weeds. We reduce it in our understanding of the church. If we can reflect on this as being a very helpful gospel to help us understand the nature of the church is not the good as opposed to the bad. We often think who's good, who's bad, who's right, who's wrong, who's in, who's out. And of course, this is a very narrow little human idea of what the church is. Like the church is the big mess, but driven by and through those who desire to be open to the Spirit of God. So it means we will find the presumably the best of all people in the world in the church will also find the worst of all people in the world in the church. And it is right that they are there because My evil and my cooperation with the evil spirit is actually an opportunity for the spirit of God. Like the more I acknowledge my weakness, my sin, my evil, the greater my capacity for God. That's the message of the lives of the first followers of Jesus. Like they were a hopeless bunch, but when they knew that their hopelessness, their weakness, their sin, their denial of Christ, even their running away when he most needed them. Once they knew that that was their capacity for God, they become the most effective instruments of God.
The other thing that I got out of it, John, keeping in mind that, like Jesus mixed with all sorts of people. He didn't mix just with the righteous. He mixed with the greatest of the weeds, really, the outcasts, the prostitutes, the tax collectors. He mixed with everyone, every walk of life, and without judgment. And so I think the final judgment's not for us. The final judgment's is for that God when the harvest is brought in. And all the way through our lives, what gives me hope is that I get a second chance, I get a third chance, I get a fourth chance. The loving God with that leniency and the clemency I spoke of from the first reading is always giving me a chance. Yeah. That gives me great hope.
Yeah.
I think
One thing
too.
that did
Sorry, you go,
come
Mike.
up to sorry, the one thing that did come up with me as I listen to our discussion is the binary way by which we look at the world, evil, good, white, black, white, labor, national. And Catherine gave me this video about Richard Rohr, and he's trying to challenge us the way we look at the world. And we don't have a binary God. So I think in some ways, this is Jesus' attempt to help us understand that the way God sees our evolution and the messiness we see, that then the patience that we need in order to be perfected, that when and sometimes the good and the bad have to mesh and be indistinguishable from each other, and probably in some ways the whatever pain or bad that comes into our good makes us stronger. Makes the roots grow stronger, because in the end, when you pull it out, a strong plant can wither the weeds when pulled out.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. And I think that the importance of being still for long enough to notice the spirit at work. That's what that second reading I think is all about. It's in amongst all the messiness, in amongst our, growing wheat and making choices that are very weed-like, the spirit is at work. The spirit never leaves us, and actually, it would appear this, the spirit himself intercedes with. I'm not too sure what this means. Inexpressible groanings, but by crikey, it sounds beautiful, doesn't it? It
Yeah, really.
intercedes with inexpressible groanings, and what we're called to do is to get better at noticing the spirit at work,
Indeed.
and to be still enough.
Yeah,
During the course of our day.
Teresa, I love this as a way of thinking about prayer. Like we don't know what to pray. Like we don't know what to pray. I can pray that the weather's fine tomorrow, or that my health struggle passes, or my financial situation gets better. We can pray all of those things, but in a way that that doesn't really appreciate the beauty of relationship with the divine. You see, when we are in relationship, it's initially when we're children, it's because this person can do things for me. But as we grow, we simply desire the relationship, whatever the reality is. So when we pray, it's not important that we know what to pray or even that we use words. And I like the idea of saying, I'm going to set aside 5 minutes to groan it, to let my being groan towards God. And we set the 5 minutes, and maybe we set the timer on our phone to so that we just relax for the 5 minutes and begin by just sighing. Like just relax, just breathe, let the 5 minutes be a groan towards God. Like this is, imagine when someone comes to you and says, look, I don't need to talk with you about details of my life or what I need. I just want to sit here with you and groan. Wow, that's a real affirmation of friendship, yes?
We're all grown
Oh, that's
together.
good.
Grown
But
together, grown together.
John, there's another word that came up as I listened to you. So we had clemency, patience,
Yeah.
but the word compassion came through. I was listening to you and imagining God looking at that plant, that good plant with a seed, with a weed growing beside it. And the word is compassion. And it's like God saying, just be patient, little one. You'll grow stronger and you'll survive this.
Yeah, I'm there thinking about that, John, that quiet time. We don't need to use words because it's said in the second reading, the one who searches hearts, God knows what's. We could be have a lot of scrambling going on in our minds and going from one thing, and not settling in our thinking, but God will know what we're about. And we just want to be open to it. And that's that. I suppose that's what I said earlier about letting the grace of God come into our lives so that things become clearer for us. I had this little prayer today that we shared at our staff prayer, and it was one of the prayers of the faithful that was there, and it was about the metanoia, about meaning a change of mind and heart. And sometimes that's, well, I'm sure that's what we need because we get lost in things. But it was, we pray that we may respond to Christ's call of metanoia, turning from gossip, division, resentment, and indifference, and towards forgiveness, compassion, and deeper discipleship. I think, that goes back to that whole judgment thing. It's not for us to judge, because we too will be judged. It's for us to walk amongst the weeds and to keep striving for, these plants to grow tall towards the light. We should be in our own lives striving to grow closer to God, the light, the way, and seek and we'll find, listen. There was a lot in these readings, John. It took me everywhere.
Well, yes, indeed. So what do we say? Like if you were preaching this week to people that you know, a congregation that you may be familiar with, from these scriptures and from what's going on in the world, because it's not only the scriptures that dictate or help what we say, but the reality of life, what would we say? What's a word of encouragement or opportunity that might be helpful for people to go home with, or for someone who is preaching to focus on as they prepare their homily? Maya, yeah.
Yeah, I would like to begin with asking them the question, what are the weeds that choke our relationship with God? And what are the weeds we are called to pull out? And then we pray for the wisdom to see, to discern, and to proceed with faith on both the weeds and the wheat of our lives.
Yeah. Great.
So I suppose I, bringing it back to what I can do, is this whole idea that our words and our deeds act as seeds. So when we're Christ to others, we avoid, I don't know, choking them, or we help them to grow. And that's when we sow seeds of, like we've been talking about, patience, love, justice, and being a blessing in people's lives. So thinking about so us being the seeds, and thinking about how those seeds land, and the way we the and what we do and what we say, so that others are built up.
Yeah, I'm going back to the words of the old Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I mean, it's about recognizing that we're not perfect. We don't sit in judgment. And to have hope. I think the word I'd base my reflection around is hope. That loving Father that always is there, can read our hearts, is reaching out to us, and we've got to reach out to God. We meet, we hold. I mean, who was that famous artist with God's hands and the other hand were meeting? I mean,
Creation, that was Michelangelo,
yeah, Michelangelo. Yeah, and it's just like that. I mean, sometimes there's one hand reaching out, and we're busy not even looking up and reaching back. You know, it's how are we doing that in our lives? How are we fulfilling that message? And how are we being that spirit with kindness in our hearts to others, and knowing that God knows all our thoughts, all our feelings. He's there. He's calling us. We've got to listen.
Well, look, you have the three of you inspired and challenged me. I think you're much better people than I am. Do you know all I can think of is going to prayer saying, Lord, let me tell you who the weeds are in my life and naming them. Like, really, because like we can all name, like praying, sure, there might be a bit of humor in this. Say, Lord, why on earth did you make that person? Or why did you give that person that really unhelpful quality? Like, what? I think to get right back to the heart of the problem, like we can do this with ourselves. But look, sometimes I wonder, Lord, why, what were you thinking when you created that person who is a problem, not, just for me and so many other. And you see, what happens when we pray like that, in my experience, is that we shift. We start to see, well, someone else probably saying that about me. What on earth did you make John O'Connor for? And then we start to realize, look, we're all in this together. And there's some things we all do that might help and other things we might do that hinder. And I sometimes think to, in prayer, get right back to the heart of, it's not just prayer as our groaning, but the heart of what causes and who causes me to groan. And when I'm specific about that, we're not talking about in community prayer or the prayer of the intercession at Mass when I name half a dozen people. But this is when I'm in the silence of my own room and I close the door. Look, what on earth were you thinking, Lord, when you made that person? Like, and the interesting thing, you who are listening can't see the faces, but we're all kind of smiling at this. And I think that kind of humor is one of the things that the Lord uses to lighten us up a little bit and to help us to see we're all part of the gift and we're all part of the problem. Thanks be to God, the weeds and wheat can go to grow together.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Let's collect our thoughts in the collect for this Sunday. Let us pray. Show favor, O Lord, to your servants, and mercifully increase the gifts of your grace, that, made fervent in hope, faith, and charity, they may be ever watchful in keeping your commands. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.